Good morning, church. Last week, we started a new series, and we invited you to have a simple Christmas this year. Hopefully, you're well on your way to that. What we meant by that was, of all the things that are going on around Christmas time, they tend to add up to stress. A lot of different things going on. Maybe there's conflict. Maybe it's just you hate shopping. That's me. Maybe something else is going on. It just adds up. And what we were saying is even these secular ideas, these worldly ideas of Christmas, that maybe they need redefined. And so we decided to spend the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas looking at four of these concepts that are usually associated with Christmas. And what we're wanting to do is show how they can be simplified down to just Christ. That Christ fulfills each one of these ideas. Joy, peace, love, hope. All of them are found in the incarnation of Christ. Of God becoming man to give us these things. To give us hope. To give us love. To introduce joy and peace. And so we've been trying to simplify by just simply looking at each one of those. Last week we looked at joy, and so hopefully you got a chance to practice that this week. The main thing that we saw is joy is not based on our circumstances, is it? Joy isn't based on life going up and down and up and down. Joy is based on something eternal, which is Jesus Christ. Joy is found in Christ. And then so joy is shown and it's discovered in how I treat others, how I feel, how I think, how I act. And so hopefully you did get a chance to practice that this week, to demonstrate that you have joy because you've built on a foundation that is Jesus Christ. Today we're going to look at something very similar, and they're often associated with each other in Scripture, and that's peace. Peace is often associated with Christmas, so let's take a look and see if we can simplify it, and maybe it needs redefined and re-understood so that we can say, yes, I can have peace this Christmas. Let's say a quick word of prayer, and then we'll take a look at peace. God, I do pray that as we look at this, there's so many of us that are coming in here with the opposite of peace. We're restless. We're fearful, we're anxious, we're depressed, we're frustrated, we're the opposite of peace. And so I pray today that you would, first of all, teach us what this word means, teach us what this concept means, and then God, I pray that we might find it in Jesus Christ, because that's what this is all about, is we're looking to Christmas, we're looking to this baby in a manger that grew up to be our Savior. God, we ask that you would teach us peace today, not just our heads, but also our hearts. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So let's talk about this idea of peace. What is peace? I can think of every Christmas morning at my mother-in-law's with now 10 grandchildren, all ripping open gifts, and it's like the perfect picture of chaos. That is not peace to me. I just want to be like, can I just go in the other room or find somewhere to go? But is that what we mean when we say peace? What about some other worldly ideas? We think of something like inner peace. And that's why some people do yoga or do breathing exercises. And those will certainly calm your emotions, but is that what we mean when we say peace? Sometimes peace is mistaken for what I would call pacifism, to the point where you avoid all conflict, you sweep things under the rug, and you become a passive person, and you never disagree, you never argue with anybody for the sake of what you think is peace. But that doesn't feel like the biblical idea of peace either. Or the most popular at Christmas is, what does everybody wish for? World peace, right? We hope and we say, boy, I wish there was world peace this year, which seems to usually be not solutions in getting along with one another, but just an absence of fighting is really what we're after. All my idea of peace, all these ideas of peace are insufficient for a couple of reasons. First of all, they're usually fake. They're fake ideas of peace. They don't have the full idea. They're false declarations of peace. Back in the Old Testament, prophets, priests, scribes ended up lying to the people about their status with God. It's interesting. They told them that they were at peace with God when they weren't. This is mentioned a couple of times in Jeremiah, and then it's also mentioned in Ezekiel. Look at Jeremiah chapter 6 with me, verse 13. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain, prophets and priests alike. All practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. I think it's interesting to see that God is rebuking these prophets and these priests for pretending like there was peace when there was no peace. Ezekiel 13 says the same thing, but because they led my people astray, saying peace when there was no peace, and because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. Therefore, tell those who cover it with whitewash that is going to fall. Rain will come with torrents, and I will send hailstones hurtling down, and violent winds will burst forth. When we see that, we see a picture of people pretending like there's peace. And God is saying, you prophets, you priests, you scribes, you keep telling everybody there's peace when there is actually no peace. So the first thing I want you to do is encourage you today, don't come in here pretending you have peace if you don't have peace. Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. The second reason all these worldly things are insufficient is they simply don't match the ancient idea of peace. They don't match what that word meant. Our word means absence of conflict. Look at the biblical definitions real quick. I've got them on the screen. Both shalom in Hebrew and eirene in Greek could mean an absence of conflict. It could mean security and safety. But it's that last definition I want you to focus on today. That peace means more than just quiet. It means a completeness, a contentment. It means lacking nothing, a complete fulfillment, to be whole. That's what it means to be at peace. In fact, you see sometimes in the Old Testament the word shalom used in some strange ways for us. Job talks about his flock being shalom because he's got all of his sheep. It's complete. It's regularly talked about bricks being shalom, because at peace, because they don't have a crack going down through the middle of them. They're whole. They are at peace. And so when we see this, it's a different idea. Peace is being complete. It's being healthy. It's being whole. And so even in the Old Testament, we see when somebody comes to you in peace, that's what they are after. They are after your completeness, your contentment, your wholeness. They want you to be lacking nothing. That's what it means when you're at peace with somebody. They want you to be complete. And so as we look at this idea of completeness, it is a little different idea than we think of as just of peace and quiet. Think of I thought of this as I was looking at that idea of completeness. Have you ever sat down to do, let's just say, a 500-piece jigsaw puzzle? You get it all together, all the border was there, you start, and then you find out you're missing like 6 or 7 pieces. Doesn't that just drive you mad? It's like this puzzle isn't complete. It isn't whole. It isn't at peace. So now apply that to your life. As you look at your life, is there something that's missing that if you had it, you said, man, I'd be at peace if it was that thing? And we fill in those gaps with all kinds of things. You're not at peace when you're missing something. When you're at conflict with somebody else, your relationship is not whole. It's not healthy. It's not just that you disagree. Can you disagree and be at peace with somebody? Yes, of course. But when you're not at peace, sometimes you pretend like you are, but really your relationship isn't whole. It isn't healthy. It isn't complete. And so you can see these worldly ideas of peace end up being fake because all they really seek is quiet, is sweeping things under the rug, is ignoring the real problems. All of those, whether it's seeking inner peace through breathing exercises or whatever the case may be, or just wanting some quiet, it falls short of what we're talking about when we talk about peace. All these worldly ideas seek is quiet, not completeness. And as nice as that is, it falls short of what God would have for us. When the prophets promised peace, it wasn't just quiet that they were after. Let's look again at Isaiah, just like we looked at last week. What the Israelites were seeking, what they were waiting for, was not just an absence of conflict. They desired to be made whole. And so Isaiah predicted that a child would bring this completeness, would bring this peace. Look at Isaiah 9, starting in verse 2, actually where we started last week. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, for the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And so in this passage, we saw the joy that we talked about last week, but we also get these images of peace with all the instruments of war and all the clothes that have been bloodstained in war, ultimately being burned in the fire. And so it is about an absence of conflict. But it's about more than that. Isaiah says, the government shall rest upon the shoulders of a child. And because that child is God, there will be no end to the peace that he brings. It won't be just temporary peace. It'll be an everlasting peace. We will once again be made complete, be made whole. And so ultimately, just as Isaiah is predicting, our peace will be found in Christ. Fast forward to the time of the New Testament now, and what we commonly see is the Christmas story in the beginning of Luke. And Zechariah, who is the dad of John the Baptist, who was born just a few months before Jesus, looks at his little child and begins to prophesy about him that he will proclaim about Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 1, what Zechariah is saying that John will proclaim about Christ. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. So Zechariah, being a priest, knew of this prophecy of Isaiah, and he's basically saying, this is it. It's finally here. This time of peace is going to be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so I take you through that big history and talk about this meaning in the Old Testament and where we see the prophecy to show you that's where we get in the New Testament when we talk about this idea of peace. It's not just quiet, it's being made complete. So let's spend just a minute in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. In this, Paul shows us how and why Jesus Christ is our peace. And so most of you are familiar with the beginning of Ephesians chapter 2, especially verses 8 and 9, that we're told that we have been saved by grace through our faith. It's nothing that we have done, so we can't boast about it. It's a gift from God. And so Paul goes on to say this is for everyone, regardless of background. Now, he specifically has Gentiles and Jews in mind, and he's talking about how salvation is for everyone. And he goes on to tell us that Christ has reconciled these two groups to God the Father and to each other. Look with me in chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And so in this, you get the imagery of this dividing wall, and Paul is saying that's what Christ took down. Now, quite literally, it could be referring to the barrier that was between the court of the Gentiles and the rest of the temple of the Jews. Christ brought that barrier down, but as he goes on, he's also using that as a metaphor for the law. For basically what he's saying is the sacrificial system now, because of the sacrifice of Christ, is no longer based on my ability to keep a bunch of rules. Can I get an amen to that? It's no longer based on my ability to keep rules and then to make a sacrifice to atone for my sins. The ultimate sacrifice was made by Christ and atoned for my sins, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ took care of it. And Paul says this was done for everyone. No matter race or ethnicity, the color of skin, whether you're a Jew, a Gentile, male, female, whether you're rich or poor, all can be saved when they put their trust in Jesus Christ's sacrifice instead of trying to earn it. Guys, that should bring us peace. That is what makes us complete. As a result of this sacrifice, Christ created something new. Paul says he created a new type of humanity. It's a gathering of people who trust in him. It's a group of people from different backgrounds that are all looking in the same place for their salvation. They're all looking to him for their salvation. What do we call this? We call it the church. That's what he's talking about, that Christ brought together new humanity and people who are all looking to Jesus Christ for their salvation. He's trying to convince this local church in Ephesus that Christ loves both insiders and outsiders, religious people and rebels. He loves them all, and as a result, they should be at peace with God and with each other. Look at verse 19. Through the end of that chapter. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Did you notice what was happening there? As the church is built, and Paul is not referring to a bunch of bricks and building a building. He's talking about individuals. As individuals come together, the church is being made complete, is being made whole, is being made at peace. And so when we begin to come together, the group becomes whole. And remember what peace means? It means wholeness. It means completeness. And so what I want you to see is that Christ is our peace. Three ways to take this home and apply it. First and foremost, Christ is the only source of peace with God. That's what we see in this passage. He's the one that tore down the barrier. Plenty of other world religions seek inner peace, seek peace with one another, and that's all great. But here's the difference. Every other world religion is man reaching for God. Christianity, what we read about in the Bible is God reaching down for man. It's peace that is coming from God. God is the only one that can bring us this peace, and it is through Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 5. Paul says this to the church in Rome. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. Because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. What an amazing promise that Christ has brought us peace with God. Is that an absence of conflict? Yes, but it's also much more than that. It's completeness. I've heard preachers say before that we all have a God-shaped hole inside of us, and we spend most of our lives trying to figure out what in the world goes into that hole, what fits in there, and we try all kinds of different things when only God will fit that hole. Only God will complete that puzzle. And it's only in Jesus Christ that we can be made right with God once again. Are you at peace with God today? If not, I invite you to be. I can say it that simply. It's not a class you have to take. It's not something you have to go try to earn. And I think that's one of the biggest misunderstandings that we have, is that it's not something I've got to go do. It's something that's already been done. That's what we just read about. Christ makes this peace available to you. I'd encourage you today, if you don't have this peace with God, to surrender to Jesus Christ. Trust in his sacrifice instead of your ability to keep a bunch of rules. If you'd like to talk more about that, you can come up at the end of the service and talk to one of the pastors that'll be up here, or you can grab that card in front of you and say, I want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. But Christ is the only source of peace with God. Because of that, we can go on. Christ is the only source of peace with myself. But all that inner peace that we were looking for, all that exercise, all those different things we can do to get there, all that will help our emotions, and it's good, healthy stuff. But it will fall short. Unless I turn to Christ, I will not have peace with myself. All that worrying, all that anxiousness, all that fear, all that depression, all of those things that you turn around again and again in your heart, all the stuff we talked about last week with an absence of joy, all of it, peace with myself, can only be found by recognizing that I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Guys, when you truly recognize that Christ paid the price for you, you are reunited with God the Father, suddenly job loss, okay, it takes a little bit of perspective. Health concerns, they fall into place. Why? Because you recognize where true peace is coming from. The fact that Christ died for you, loves you, and you can be reunited with God the Father through him. That brings you peace within yourself. So how do we access this? How do we find that peace? Is it just by remembering what Christ did for us? Is it just by looking backward? No, it's more than that. Look at John 14, what John records Jesus saying to his disciples. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I love this passage because you see interaction here, just like this Ephesians passage, between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You see all three at work here, and Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm not telling you to have peace by just getting over it. You know, just stop worrying, just stop being fearful. Jesus is saying that upon my death and resurrection, God is going to send the Holy Spirit to live in the lives and hearts of those who believe. That's where our peace is, that God has given the Christian a part of himself to live in us. The Holy Spirit to guide us, to comfort us. His name in Greek actually means the comforter. Jesus Christ is the only source of peace with myself. Because of his sacrifice, his death and resurrection, I can have the Holy Spirit living in me. God is the only source of peace with God, with myself, and finally, Christ is the only source of peace with others. A lot of what we thought about when we thought about Christmas last week was families fighting and getting around each other, and we need peace from those situations, don't we? So much of our conflict is seated in rivalry. But when it comes to Christ, we recognize that we don't have to try to make ourselves look better than other people. Jesus died for every single one of us. So I don't need to make myself look better than you. You don't need to make yourself look better than me or each other. We all recognize that we're all sinners in need of a Savior. That puts us all at the same footing at the base of the cross. It's perfectly level. We're all on the same plane. Therefore, we don't need to have this rivalry. Christ aligns us because we all need a Savior. And so when you have conflict with others, I want you to try something. Don't just try to get your way. Sometimes you think that's what's going to bring you peace. It's not. Don't just try to sweep everything under the rug and ignore the issues. That's not seeking peace either. Instead, recognize that Jesus Christ loves both of you, died for both of you, and peace can be found because of that. Because there's a perspective that suddenly the problems of this world don't matter because Jesus Christ has come and we can be at peace with one another. Look at Romans 12. Paul tells the church in Rome that this is their responsibility. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with who? Everyone. Oh boy, that's a tough one. Live at peace with everyone. Because of what Christ has done for us, you're able to live at peace with anyone in your life. Do you believe that? Even the ones you disagree with? What about the ones who don't believe the same things you do? What about those political nut jobs? Notice I didn't say aside. Those ones that just have these bad habits. Yes, anyone. It is possible to live at peace with anyone on your end because Jesus Christ died for you. Because God has made you complete. Therefore, you don't need that relationship to be complete. You don't need their approval to be complete. You don't need anything out of any relationship here on earth, any material good here on earth to be complete. Therefore, you can be at peace with anyone. And remember, peace is not just an absence of conflict and sweeping things under the rug. Remember what peace was when somebody comes to you in peace? If somebody comes to you in peace, that means they are after your completeness, your wholeness, your well-being. Be that person. Be someone who comes in peace. A genuine desire to see them made complete and whole. Maybe that means making peace with God. Maybe that means them making peace with themselves. Or maybe that means they need to make peace with you. Whatever the case may be, it is found in Jesus Christ. Let me go back to the picture I gave you earlier of the jigsaw puzzle that we've got with 6 or 7 out of 500 missing pieces that just would drive me mad. What do we often do? We try to, in life, we try to grab a piece of something else and jam it in there. Might not even fit. And we just try to cram it in there and make it work. And then sometimes it's close enough that we pretend it fits. Those pieces are things like relationships, jobs, entertainment, Facebook. You name it, we've got this missing piece and we recognize that there's something missing, that we're not complete. And so what do? We grab at all kinds of other things to try to fill that in so that we could be complete. And sometimes we get just close enough that we step back and we go, there, I'm at peace. When in reality, we're saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, just like those prophets did. We need to let go of all that stuff and recognize that peace is only found in the one whom God sent. Isaiah chapter 26, let me close with this thought. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And so trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Are you at peace today? You don't have to answer that out loud. You can answer it in your heart between you and God. But it's a valid question, isn't it? I mean, don't even have to ask it just at Christmas time. Are you at peace? And if the answer is, well, no, which it probably is for most of us because we're restless, we're fearful, we're anxious, then what is the response? Well, it's either seeking peace with God through Jesus Christ, or maybe you need to seek peace within yourself, stop the worrying and the fearing. Or you need to seek peace with other people. Maybe it's all of the above. Now, here's the neat thing as we respond. Whether it's God myself or others where I need to seek peace, who is it that I need to seek? Jesus. It's Jesus Christ. In each instance, the response is to seek Jesus Christ and to recognize who he is, what he's done for you, and what the peace that he now brings. And so maybe it is peace with God today that you need to reach out for. Seek Christ. Maybe it's peace with yourself. The response is to seek Jesus Christ. Maybe it's peace with others, that there's a conflict in your life right now. The answer is to seek Jesus Christ and then go to them, repent, talk about the issues. And each way, though, it starts with Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I encourage you today to receive this gift that has been so graciously given and to respond to the call. You can do that by coming up and talking to me, either me or Val, or grabbing that card. Maybe it's something else you need to respond to. Maybe you need prayer for something. Flip that card over, write something out, and we'll be praying for you this week. Let us know if you want followed up. But the question is, who do you need to seek? Jesus Christ. Let's stand and let's sing about that as we respond together.